Welcome to the Victory Show.
Hey, Victors. Welcome to this episode of the Victory Show. If this is your first time joining us, I'm Travis Cody, best-selling author, 16 books, and the creator of Bestseller by Design. I've had the privilege of helping hundreds of business consultants, founders, and entrepreneurs write and publish their own best-selling books. And through that journey, I've discovered a really fascinating pattern. Most businesses really struggle to break past the seven-figure per year mark in revenue. So on this show, I sit down with some of the world's most successful founders, CEOs, leaders, and business owners to uncover the strategies they use to scale way past that mark so that you can do the same. Get ready for some deep insights and actionable takeaways that you can implement in your life and business starting now. Today's guest has built his life on the pillars of unconventional experience, unyielding optimism, and a relentless drive to create, no matter the odds. Nuri Otis is an entrepreneur, inventor, business leader, and investor who today serves as founder and CEO of Kinetic AI, a company delivering world-class business applications engineered to transform, get this, the auto repair industry. At his core, Nuri believes that breakthrough solutions demand more than just insights. They require action, resilience, and the courage to carve new paths. His journey is far from ordinary. It's a story of grit, perseverance, and unrelenting optimism, navigating life and business in ways that few people dare to go. And with Kinetic AI, Nuri is reimagining a sector long ripe for disruption. He's leading the charge in applying AI and next-gen tools to the world of automotive repair, helping teams operate faster, smarter, and more profitably in an industry that's often underserved by tech. And as a consumer, I can say, is a pain in the neck on this end. So hopefully you can solve that too. So get ready to hear a conversation full of real lessons on perseverance, innovation, and the kind of forward-thinking leadership that can move and transform industries. Nuri, thanks for being here today.
Now, I hope I can live up to that introduction. I am skeptical, to say the least.
That's why they pay me the big bucks. So I know you've got a ton of experience growing multiple companies into the high eight-figure marks and exiting those companies. But really what I was curious about was the work you're doing with Kinetic IQ. And first off, let's just start with, where did that idea even come from?
It's not a short story, but basically from an experience that I had back during COVID. I ordered one of those brand new Broncos that gets like 6 feet to the gallon or something. And I'm joking, I actually love the car. But I had to get service, and the service dealer that's close to us, and there's, if I go 10 miles in pretty much any direction, I've got one, but none of them could get me in when it was convenient for me. And it took phone calls and text messages and all this other stuff. And all of a sudden, it hit me. As I had spent the last 10 years building a company that I left a few years ago, after hiring my replacement, and they're doing really well, I looked at something else I could do with messaging. That experience taught me that messaging is much more than, hey, honey, bring home milk. Can you pick the kids up from soccer practice? Or, hey, what are you doing tonight? Or some other kind of booty call, whatever. You know what I mean? The uses are very, very narrow, but they can actually be a hell of a lot more things done with it. So I looked into this, and I ended up on the phone with procurement with one of the largest auto dealers in the country, probably in the world, but I don't want to say that. And I got introduced to them from a friend of mine that's a VC back on the East Coast. And it's his next door neighbor. In the most weird ways, life comes together. And I ended up on the phone with him. It was a Friday or Saturday night afterwards. I was having a beer. He was having a glass of bourbon. And we just talked. And he told me, he goes, the biggest problem our business has is making car service appointments. And my friend who made the introduction told him where I'd been, and that's where the interest came, which came from messaging. And I began to look into this. The auto repair industry is a $600 billion industry.
Wow.
Right? This is a problem that exists everywhere. No matter what dealership you talk to, and I started building this literally with guerrilla marketing. I walked into dealerships, sometimes in a t-shirt, shorts, and flip-flops. But the second they saw what we did, They were like, yes, this is something that's needed in the industry. This is a problem we can't fix. And part of the problem is that everything has become so expensive. A high-level service advisor in California. I live about 20 miles south of San Francisco, and I love California, but it's a $70, $80, $90, $100 an hour person at cost. Plus, you've got your carry on top of that. So, if these people are not acting efficiently, if there's other ways that tools that can be made to make their lives better, to make especially the lives of their customers better, then we have a responsibility to do so. And that's what we've built. We've built something where, very simply, you send a text message saying, hey, I need a service. I believe you said you have a Mini Cooper the other day, right?
Yeah.
So you send a message to Mini Cooper, and in six text messages, you've got a service appointment. Instead of five phone calls or instead of 20 minutes on hold, come up with your various things. I could be not nice about how long it takes, but that's not the point. The point here is to make life better. And auto is just the beginning for us. We have a lot of other verticals that we want to go into, the biggest one being medical. But that's going to take time. It's going to take a lot of money. But imagine being able to make a doctor's appointment in five or six text messages. Well, that's what's possible. That's where our future is. And that's what life is going to become. It's going to be more, it's going to be easier. It's going to be faster. The obstacles that we face as human beings on a daily basis are going to continue to be lessened. Will they ever go away? Probably not. But will they be easier? Right? I mean, think about Calendly, just the simple little program that costs $12 a month. Think about how much easier it made everything. And that's literally what it takes. It takes somebody who feels the problem and then goes out and talks to people and builds something that the industry needs. That's the important part. And that's what I've spent 30 years doing.
So you were obviously in the messaging space before this, and so let's talk about what you had this experience with your car and trying to get it serviced. From the moment where you went, this is a problem, walk us through like what were the steps that you took of going, this is a problem. How did you sort of validate it, and then like what did it take for you to actually get your sort of your minimum viable product ready to go to be able to show these dealerships what it can do.
Well, I've had the good fortune of working with three exemplary technologists. The first one was in my first company, the second one was my second company, and the third one was my second company and this company. These guys, you need to find a technologist who thinks out of the box. And I know that's a really big, largely overused phrase. However, it's what you need. You need to find somebody with an insatiable curiosity, someone who's isn't willing to say, oh, so and so says this can't be done. Well, then it obviously can't be done. Well, Travis, I've spent a lifetime doing what people told me I couldn't do. So it can be done. It just matters. And this, for me, this always goes back to there's an author who wrote a book called The Last Lecture. And his name is Randy Pausch. And he said, the people who win are the people who just wanted more than the other people. And I believe that to my core. And then you got to surround yourself with people. And when you're in my position and you're running a company, there are times where you got to know to get out of the way. And then there are other times you got to know to step in and put forth what you know to be true. Because I'm the person on the phone with the customers, I'm the person on the phone with the technologists and everything else. So no matter what happens, as much as you like to think, oh, I know what my customers want. I got it. I'm this, I'm that. It's not how it is. One of the most intelligent guys I know, Stanford PhD, just guy I play basketball with, his name is Clint. And Clint is the person who took me to see Dr. Steve Blank give a speech about the lean startup methodology. It was written by, it was a, there was a book written about it later by Eric Ries. that enlightened me. And I started that as I started the company before this. We talked to over 600 professionals all over the world over a period of about 12 months. And we did it again this time. But this time, I already had the biggest fish in the pond telling me this was an issue. So we didn't go 600 deep, but we did talk to about, I want to say somewhere between 80 and 100 people. I don't remember exactly. But that's how you validate. If you find a problem, you validate it, right? And if you can't validate it, it's probably not a real problem, or it's probably not one you want to put your energy towards at this time. But I'll tell you, as I said this a few minutes ago, far from it from anybody who has built something that, who thought the world needed Instagram. Look at that. It's probably bigger than Facebook today, or it's as large, right? So you build what is going to attract users, what people want. And sometimes they don't know what they want. Sometimes it's part of this is building an industry and building a market that didn't exist before. And that's where I am now. But the best part about it is that, and I told you this a couple of minutes ago, I found out we got chosen to present at TechCrunch. There's validation as big as it gets. And we're speaking at TechCrunch on Monday. This will probably come out way after
So
that
were
for
you just
episode.
talking to somebody about your tech, and then they were like, "Oh my God, we got to have you come and speak." Like, how did that come about? 'Cause that's pretty funny. Like, it's 2 days before. Normally they book things out like 6 months. So, like, obviously the idea is hot. I'm just curious of what that conversation looked like.
I genuinely don't know. What I do believe happened was that there was probably some call to action X number of months ago that I filled out and I don't recall. But since I got the email today saying, hey, don't forget, you got to be here at 2 o'clock on Monday and everything else, and next week is TechCrunch, I kind of have to pay attention to that for the next few days. Thankfully, most of my presentation is canned and I know what to say. But I'm gonna talk about what we've done, and literally I'm going to show a 75 second video that we've done that shows what we do. I went to college in Missouri, and the Show Me State, and it just stuck. And I'm 63. That started when I was 18, but it stuck. And I would rather show somebody then tell them about what we do, right? How does it go? Teach a man to fish and you feed him forever. Give him the fish and you feed him for a day. Something to that effect. I believe I reverse them, but regardless, right? That's how it is. That's how the world works. And from my perspective, the most important thing you can do as these people speak is open your mind. Be willing to listen to them. Don't take it personally. There's a book called The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz, and it talks about being impeccable with your word. Don't take anything personally. Don't make assumptions. Always do your best. Think about living your life that way. Think about living your life where, if you said to me, hey, Nuri, I think what you built is crummy and it's never going to work and all of that. Well, you know what? Your opinion is as valid as mine. That's how you have to approach these things. You've got to be willing to listen. And when someone says to you, and this actually goes back to Randy Pausch's book, when someone criticizes you, that means they still care. So you can take it as negativity or you can take it as positivity. But if someone takes the time to tell me what's wrong with what I'm doing or that I could do something better, I simply say thank you.
So let's talk about what has been some of the sort of the like pushback that you've gotten from this. 'Cause I, in my own work in certain industries we go into, and I'll bring my frameworks for how we write and publish books. And I have gotten pushback where people are like, well, that's just not the way we do things here. Right. Which always cracks me up, with, I'm like, well, okay, but where has that gotten you to? Right. So the car industry sort of strikes me as is that this is that's not the way we do things here. They sort of, again, from a user consumer standpoint, it feels like they've sort of been drug kicking and screaming into the digital age of being transparent with their pricing and all that sort of stuff, right? So with this, as you've presented this, have you run into any of the like, well, that's not really how we do things?
It literally happened this week. We believed we were set up as a with a pilot customer that was in one of the high value brands, and everything was set, and there was a flip of the switch of the script, and all of a sudden it went away, and this was weeks and weeks of work. But that's what happens. You're in sales, right? That's what happens. Things change, and as John Lennon said, life is what happens to you while you're busy making other plans. And that's fine. So what did I do? Is I went out and found another one who I'd already been talking to, and told him that I've got a pilot a pilot slot open, and does he want to be the first person in the area to use this and grow his business first? The thing that most people don't realize is that when you miss your call, when someone hangs up, when someone doesn't finish their appointment, the loss to the dealership is significant. If you're running a large dealership, you're talking about millions of dollars on an annualized basis, but just a single service advisor using a program like this, so you don't have downtime, you're as efficient with your hours as possible, they can see as much as a $500,000 addition to the bottom line in a 40 to 60% margin business.
That is crazy. What? So, like, I know we had spoken earlier, and you mentioned the statistics in the auto industry. How many calls to auto dealers go unanswered? What was percentage is that?
So 56% of calls go unanswered, and 74% of calls are abandoned if not answered within three rings.
Isn't that that's insane. And again, right to the point, you get somebody that's 45 or under, like they would actually rather text versus having to make a call. So you're now engaging, the sort of the primary demographic there in a way that is more convenient for them in the way they do that.
Well, you just brought up what is our moat for everybody else. And we not only do texting, but this can also be done completely through automated voice and can
Oh,
also
wow.
be done via email. It can also be done at the dealer's website. So a user has four different ways to connect to the dealer in the form in which they want. And the story behind how we got to this place was Sonic, which is a large group in the country. I went to speak to the general manager of a dealership in town, and he knows my mom, and my mom used to buy a new car from them every other summer. Long story short, he asked me. He goes, "Is your mom going to text to make an appointment?" I literally laughed out loud. I don't think my mother knows how to text, right? But can she email? Can she Facebook Messenger? Can she WhatsApp? Damn right, she does it great. So what I learned from that is you've got to understand your customer profile. If your customer profile is, and I'll use my son bought a new car a couple of weeks ago, right? He doesn't care how he gets the appointment as long as it's done. An older person, I'm 63, I'm good, but I work in the business, right? My brother, who works in tech but isn't as technologically savvy as me, he's not going to be as comfortable with that. So you got three people sh who share blood, who have three different profiles in terms of what type of use they would do. The other thing that we do that's different is that if you're sending messages, whatever form you're using, if you have to hang up for whatever reason, right? The water boils while you're making dinner, whatever. When you come back, it comes back to exactly the spot that you were in. So you do not have to redo anything.
Wow. Yeah, so you didn't mention that when we were chatting before, but that's huge.
Well, I can't tell you all our secrets, but I'm happy
Come on, man, you're holding out the good
to
stuff. So So you're in test pilot phase right now. Let's roll this out in what does year one look like for you in like sort of low bottom conservative numbers in terms of like how many dealerships you want to get to, and by the end of the decade, what's your vision for where you want Kinetic IQ to be?
So by the end of, but pardon me, by this time next year, we'd like to be at somewhere between $1 million and $2 million in annual recurring revenue. So call it somewhere between $100,000 and $150,000 a month, round numbers. Those are respectable numbers, and that would just mean we've got decent market penetration. As we go into these larger dealerships, those numbers will go up significantly. We've also taken a very unique pricing approach to everybody else that's out in the space. When you and I spoke the other day, I mentioned to you that there are people that are ahead of us on the curve, and there are people that are behind us. We've taken a very deliberate approach to this because we wanted to be able to address the customer profile of anybody that wanted to make an appointment. Most of, sorry, I shouldn't say most, the others that are out there, it's 90 something percent voice. And voice is great, but for example, going back to using my mother as an example, I've taught my mother that when she gets a voice that doesn't sound right, or if it's somebody she doesn't know, to hang up. And that's what a lot of people are going to do. The older community, right? People are not going to be comfortable with a robot voice that sounds like the robot from Lost in Space or from HAL. Was that Space 2001 or whatever that was? So in order to address each customer, in order to deal with how they like to deal with it, things, you have to give them choices. One of the most interesting metrics we learned in the last company was that texting is so much more valuable in the sense of mind share. When you get a text, historically, most people respond to or read a text within 3 minutes, right? I think it's 98% of text messages are read within 3 minutes, where 70% of emails are never read. And then
Yeah, I was
another
going to say
90
that's
something percent are responded to within 3 minutes.
remarkable.
So, what does that tell you about our society? Our society places a higher value on messaging than it does with others, right? And you know, when we're done, this will work with Messenger, with Facebook. This will work with WeChat. This will work with WhatsApp. This will work with Signal. This will work with every app. So wherever we are in the country, and you know, frankly, I got approached by an auto dealer in Istanbul this week who said, "Hey, there was a person out here from Turkey, and I met with him a couple of weeks ago. My family's from Turkey, right?" So. He's a VC in Turkey who told his friend that's an auto dealer in Turkey, "I've never spoken to this person. I get a blank email saying, 'Hey, we should talk.'" And we were exchanging, and my Turkish, I tell people I speak Turkish with a thick American accent, but I speak a little bit of Turkish marginally. But we were going back and forth in Turkish, and I was using Google Translate to write. So but that's how these things come about, right? The last company that I ran, our growth came from a investment bank on Wall Street posting in a community forum that he found a solution to a problem they were all dealing with that within a year or two caused billions of dollars in sanctions from the government. So how it comes about, it's any way possible. The best part about it, though, and the thing that you gotta do is you gotta be ready. When you get that call, when you get that message, and if you're not ready for them, and I've told this large auto dealer that has 400 dealerships in the country, "We can't handle you right now. You will destroy us. You will eat us alive. But give me a little bit of time. I'll come back to you." And I've told them, "I promise you will get the best treatment possible when we are ready. And we won't be ready long. It won't take us long." I told him 6 months, it'll probably take under 3.
So I know you're pressed for time here, and I want to respect that. So like this, I'm going to do something I haven't done yet with this project, which is I would, it's even as you're just getting out the door, I would love to, in 3, 6 months, have you come back and kind of watch the growth of this in real time? I mean, you're just launching now, you're just getting your beta users. Would love to have you back on. What are you gonna, the final thing here for this conversation is, what are you gonna be speaking at TechCrunch?
What I was going to do while we were talking was put on a demonstration that basically showed Kinetic in action.
In real time.
But I could actually send it to you if you want to, if you want to somehow put it in, I can do that. It's easy. It's the 20 something megabyte file. But anyhow, the way I'm going to approach TechCrunch is very simple. I'm going to put up the demonstration. I've got a 13 slide outline that I've written. And I'm going to let the demonstration go. I'm not going to use my deck. I'm just going to let the product and the technology do the talking. I'm just simply going to give the information. I got asked the other day, what are the 4 or 5 words that describe what you do? And it's like, well, we recover your customers, we engage your customers, we automate your customers, and we drive revenue. Those are our 5 words. Customers not being part of it.
I mean, just starting your presentation with, 52% of all calls go unanswered, 74 calls get abandoned by here, and now you've just eliminated that, low end revenue, 500,000 a year. That's remarkable. Nuri, what fantastic idea. I can't wait to see this thing launch. Good luck at TechCrunch in a few days, and thanks for being on the show.
Thank you. Have a great day.